I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. We're here in the Capitol in Juneau. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:30 p.m. Committee members present, Senator Stoltz, Senator Stedman, Senator Coghill, Senator Wilikowski. I expect Senator Costello momentarily. And Senator Michicki is likely tied up in Senate Finance Committee this afternoon. And I'm Senator Beasley. Thank you so much to Ann and Cody, who are recording this meeting and helping us with the audio. Today, our committee is going to take up two of the three appointments made by the governor to the Board of Fisheries. It's the intent of the committee to hear from each of the appointees. Committee members then can ask them questions, and then after we've heard from both of the appointees, we'll transition to public testimony. We'll do the public testimony all at once. If public testimony goes beyond today's meeting, we will continue it on Friday. Today's Wednesday, right? That's something we'll decide here as we go along. So, first of all, we're going to take up Mr. Alan Kane. Mr. Kane, you are on the line, so welcome to the committee. I will ask you to introduce yourself for the record and let us know why you'd like to serve on the Board of Fish and any other information that you think we should have. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity. I am sorry I couldn't be there in Juneau in person, but I'm here. I can see all you folks just fine. I assume I'm just a voice coming through the speaker, so I'm thankful for this chance. There's two or three reasons why I'd like to serve on the Board of Fisheries. The first one is I've thought for quite a few years I would like to do it, and I suppose we should all be careful what we'd like to do, because I think the day is getting close here. But I've observed through quite a few years that the Board of Fisheries provides a wonderful service to the state of Alaska. For 40 years I've been involved in protecting and enforcing and helping managers in managing our fishery resources, and I'm quite proud of that term of service, and I'm happy to apply that to the process here in the next couple of years with the board. I've seen quite a few groups and individuals come before the board with a lot of differences, and by listening very carefully, evaluating what the needs are, and then of course referring to the Constitution and the applicable laws, we can usually find an agreeable solution to most things, and I'm glad to put my hat in the ring to try to do that. I don't have a lot of prepared statements or anything here, so I'm open to questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kane. For the record, I want to welcome Senator Costello, who joined us right after we started, as well as Senator Michicki, who's been able to join us from the Finance Committee. So welcome to both of you. Questions for Mr. Kane from committee members. Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Keene. I'm trying to recall if I've met you or not. Were you a contract employee for the DNR in the public use area in Kinnick area?
Yes, Senator Stoltz. Okay. Shortly after that legislation was completed, they hired me to help them to form the beginning of the peace officer program and the law enforcement program, and I've provided training for them and input and help with the regulations and bail schedule and the various aspects of that program over the years.
Thank you. I think I just met you briefly. It was mostly over the phone, so not seeing you in person. I just wanted to just jog my own memory. Thank you. You did a good job out there setting the stage for that. A lot of it, it's been a much more stable area.
So he wasn't arresting you, Senator Stoltz?
You know what?
Just asking.
We can ask him about other members, but
any other questions for Mr. Kane? I know folks have seen his resume. It's got a lot of information on it. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, I'll just maybe a general question. So can you give us your thoughts on the how to solve the Cook Inlet issues that arise as far as the dip netters and what do you think there should be a any sort of priority for in-river sport use or dip net use? Do you think there should be a curtailment of emergency openings, for example, in Cook Inlet when there's low fish runs, or you think we should curtail dip netting or sport fishing first? I'm just trying to get maybe your general sense of where you stand on some of those issues that arise in Cook Inlet.
Thank you, Senator Wachowski. I don't have any preferences, of course, other than the legal precedent set forth in Title 16 of Alaska statute, which certainly gives subsistence fishing preferences, but that being a non-subsistence area isn't applicable there. I sat through five different cycles of Cook Inlet and very, very familiar with the user groups involved and the passions each group has for their harvest abilities. And I think things change to a degree as the years go along. Some user groups become more capable and more efficient in their harvest methods. Others remain pretty stable. And I think the board members need to listen very, very carefully to the input that's presented. The Department of Fish and Game certainly has a tremendous amount of management experience and has done an excellent job, in my view, of managing that river and the adjacent river systems in the area. And each situation and issue needs to be evaluated. Things are in reasonable condition at this time. So big changes certainly have to be looked at very carefully, but there are always minor adjustments and tweaks that are needed for fisheries and programs as efficiency or weather conditions or ocean conditions change. So I'm open to listen to each user group. I'm very familiar with each user group and pretty well up on what the issues are right now.
Follow-up, Senator Wilkowski.
Do you agree with the conservation corridor that was established for the Matsu recently?
I do, Senator.
Follow-up, Senator Wilkowski.
And do you believe there are any salmon fishery management plans that are not currently working?
I don't feel strongly that any of the current management plans are, to quote you, not working at this time. There are always adjustments and improvements that are needed. I'm assuming the Department of Fish and Game is going to come forward with some ideas and suggestions for improvements during this next year's Cook Inlet Fisheries Board cycle. I also assume several of the user groups are going to have suggestions, and we will take a look at each one very carefully and see what's the best fit.
Follow-up, Senator Wilkowski.
The Kenai and Kasilof personal use fisheries have certainly increased in recent years. Do you support any proposals that have been filed recently to limit boat use or cut the number of fish that can be taken or to charge fees?
I don't oppose any of those. I think all of those need to be considered carefully.
Any follow-up, Senator Wilkowski?
Do you agree with the windows for the drift fleet closures so that South Central dip netters can fish usually Friday through Saturday or Sunday?
Yes, Senator, I do believe that's been an effective way to increase the take in the river for the personal use fishermen during those times.
Senator Wilkowski.
On the Copper River, I don't know how familiar you are with that, but last year there was a decision made to increase the number of fish that could be taken to, it was 15 for a family of one and 30 for a family of two or more. So the limit has been increased, I believe, to match the Kenai River limits, which I think many people think is a really good thing. But on the downside, the concern that I've heard is people, there's such a limited number of places to fish that people are spending a lot more time dip netting there. And I think it may have had some impacts that people didn't, some negative impacts on the dip netters. Do you have any thoughts on that?
My only thoughts on that, Senator, is any changes have to be evaluated year after year. I assume that's one of the reasons why the Board of Fisheries is on the type of cycle that it is, so that a couple of years can go by before the impacts or negative aspects of any change can be come to light. So I assume we'll be receiving that information during cycle. As long as the resource can sustain, of course, an increased limit, and I'm not exactly familiar with the dialogue and the debate that went on to make that increase, what the Department of Fish and Game's position was on it, but I assume it was in concert with their input. Every change has an impact, and that has to be considered very carefully by the board.
Senator Wilkowski, further?
I may have a few more, but I know
okay.
Senator Stoltz has.
Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Keene. Follow up on Senator Wilkowski's question through the chair. You said you're not opposed to limitations on personal use fisheries, on boat limitations and fish allocation limitations. Can you give me a little more specific of what you think is a reasonable limitation on personal use fisheries, since you're open to those restrictions?
Senator Stoltz, I'm open to discussion on any changes. A great number of changes are suggested every year by a lot of user groups. If my memory is correct, for the Cook Inlet cycle, there are usually around 500 different proposals for the board to consider, and a lot of those changes are in there. My statement that I'm not opposed to it is I'm listening. I'd like to hear input on all sides, and if we can improve something, make something more sustainable, I'm not interested in disenfranchising any user group or individual, but seeing that the allocations that past boards have set are as equally distributed as they can be is my goal, and that's why I'm not opposed to listening to suggested changes for any user group.
Follow-up, Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Keene. I think equal has a much different meaning. It doesn't mean any numerical equality by any measure. Equal and fair, or equal and reasonable, are probably more equated. Because I don't think we have the capacity to put an equal number up the river as it are harvested by that ever efficient drift fleet. So, with that question, I would ask what limits. The personal use and sport fish are the smaller user. What limits would you suggest or you might be open to or not opposed to for the Goliath, the set netters and the drifters? And I wouldn't call the set netters a Goliath, but let's just say the drifters, the larger user.
Well, Senator Stoltz, I'm not trying to be vague, but during my experience with the board, there have been quite a few different ideas from different user groups to limit one another and even themselves. And some of them have been what I would consider extreme suggestions, and others have been very reasonable. And I think that's what the board of seven people is there to do, is to evaluate every proposal as fairly as possible and to come up with the most equitable solutions to the problems. There certainly in Cook Inlet, with the population base there in Upper Cook Inlet, the Matsum Valley, Lower Cook Inlet, there are a lot of people interested in harvesting salmon there, and sometimes these debates become very passionate and very emotional, and we need to calmly sit and listen to all of the suggestions and try to sort out what's going to be the best for that year's cycle. I know that's a very vague answer, but that's just how the process seems to work best.
Senator Stoltz.
And thank you, Mr. Keene. I think that's the more appropriate answer. I don't expect you to come in aligned one way or the other. And if you're fair, I think anytime the system is fair, I think my constituents benefit. My constituents can't afford to hire lobbyists, can't dominate the hearings. So if we get a fair shake, it's definitely not equal, but I think fair is about all we can ever expect from the process that's often driven by the department as well. So thank you very much.
Senator Machicki.
Senator Stoltz, I really do hope I would be fair. I've seen over time that some user groups come in with very strong voices, highly organized groups, and other user groups are either not present at the meeting or are very quiet and much more subdued. And I have watched board members listened very carefully to the outspoken organized groups and to the quieter, more subdued individuals. And I think listening carefully is the key to finding a fair solution for everything.
Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stoltz brings up a good point. I think we see it in this building. If there's not a sort of transparent, credible public process, it's tough to bring folks together. And it, especially with something as emotional as the Board of Fish, on bringing all the user groups together, do you have thoughts on how your service can improve the confidence of the public no matter the result? I think both sides often feel like they weren't heard, whether they were or not, and that can be challenging. But do you have some thoughts on how your service can improve that level of confidence?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Michie. I really think that in recent years, the Board of Fish made a huge improvement when they went to the committee process as a model. The previous model they used for taking public testimony for just 3 to 5 minutes per individual and then going straight to deliberations was always a strained one. The board members just didn't have the information they needed. I think confidence from all members of the public improved dramatically when they went to the committee process, and recently they've modified it a little more by going to committees of the whole instead of small individual committees that people had to run back and forth between. And each user group or interest or individual gets a chance to speak during those committees. Yes, it takes more days in the board process, but I've watched very polarized factions move a little bit closer together when they hear each other's opinions and explanations about effects on families and livelihoods and all sorts of things. The committee process, in my mind, has been the biggest confidence builder. I think people feel that they've been heard better. I certainly have understood the issues from the seat that I sat in during those times, and that process really helps the discussion move along. I wish we had more time for the public process, but with those committees in place, that's the biggest one. I certainly would intend to support and continue a committee process that the board is now utilizing.
Follow-up, Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Mr. Kane.
Further questions for Mr. Kane? Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just back on Cook Inlet and the management, I know that's it'll be coming up, I think, next year, this year maybe. What I've seen over the years is the biggest management tool typically for over-escapement is to send the commercial fleet out and more and have more emergency openers. And it seems like the last resort is to allow sport fishermen and women to take more fish and dip netters to go longer hours and maybe extend the days you can dip net. Would you be open to some changes there so that there could be more management of over-escapement by allowing more fish for the sport fisher people and the dip netters?
Yes, Senator, I would. I'm willing to listen to any suggestions that there are, and any way that we can more equitably spread the harvest between user groups, I would be open to listening to. I do know that the commercial fleet is a very efficient way in dramatic spikes of return to the river, but there also are other ways. Some of them are more difficult to manage, but not impossible, and I would be open to listening to any of those.
Senator Wilkowski.
If you could just maybe give us your thoughts on the commercial set net fishery, and there's been a lot of angst on all different sides about that. They've been closed numerous years, and they're concerned about that, and the sport fishermen are concerned about the impacts on Kenai Chinook, salmon runs. Do you have any thoughts on how we can better manage the set net fishery?
Well, Senator, that's an awkward issue because of the potential for harvest of king salmon returning to the Kenai and Kisilauk rivers and, of course, to the upper reaches of Cook Inlet. They're efficient at doing that, and that's been one of the major reasons that they've had to take the concessions that they have. In my opinion, they're a valid and historic user group that needs careful consideration, to give them the best opportunity to harvest they can. I'm not certain at this particular moment and don't have any good suggestions on how to minimize king salmon harvest, but I think the Department of Fish and Game and the CentNet fleet have made quite good progress, and I'm certainly open to future progress in whatever form may come.
Follow-up, Senator Wilikowski?
Do you have any thoughts, or would you recommend any drift boat-only areas on the Kenai River?
Senator, that's something that could be considered. I would need to hear specifically what areas were being thought about for that, but typically they've salmon harvest have shared areas and in the past, and where the fish are is where the fish are, and I'm open to listen. I'm open to consider, and certainly would be interested in what the Department of Fish and Game had to say about their ability to manage the fishery. That's a pretty volatile topic with king salmon return these days to the river, so the more information we had, I think the better decisions could be made.
Further questions for Mr. Keene? Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Keene, one of the challenges is the Cook Inlet is a mixed stock fishery. Do you think there should be a departure and try to focus on some more discrete stock management so that we don't, when we have so many stocks of concerns in the Susitna drainage in the Mat-Matsu Valley, do you see that as a possibility? And I have a follow-up.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz. I am not familiar with the most recent genetic studies that have been done on where fish run in different parts of the inlet that are especially headed for the streams in Upper Cook Inlet in the Mat-Matsu Valley. And I don't know if there's been any big increases in patterns of where those fish are located or not. And probably if they were able to discover that, the first thing you could count on is that would change. So I certainly support an equitable distribution of fish into all streams that fulfills our constitutional mandate to sustain fisheries. And in my mind, the more research that can be done to genetic research specifically for harvest patterns and migration patterns through the inlet over time, the better we can understand where fisheries can be opened and where certain corridors, if you will, within the inlet allow for passage of upper Cook Inlet fish. I think the department's still working on those kind of things as diligently as they can, and I would be open to any sort of strategy that would assure an equitable distribution of fish through all the streams in Cook Inlet. Very difficult chore, very tall order to do that, but I would be listening very carefully to allow full allocation harvest in the local areas and allow the other fish populations to move on to where they're bound to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, my question and concern wasn't about fish equality or the number of fish, but the conservation of the species when you're harvesting fish a mixed stock. And my concern was really about making sure fish got back to the right rivers. Your coho runs aren't intercepted, and we don't have adequate runs. It's a real difficult prospect, and a lot of the reason there is more information right now, there's been a resistance from some political entities and parts of the state from having that information, is they don't want to have the question come up about the possibility of discrete stock management, because right now the system is in the advantage of those who do the mass harvest, that the Mattsee Valley actually led the effort to do the genetics, and it was resisted by status quo for a long time. My concern, Mr. Kane, is I don't want somebody out of frustration because of a mixed stock management that doesn't recognize threatened species, threatened stocks of concerns. Somebody gets frustrated and files an ESA lawsuit, and God help us if we get to that point out of just pure frustration. And that was my concern. I am always concerned about making sure there's an equitable use of fish, but my concern about the mixed stock fisheries is what dangers that puts us in, and for pure conservation. My main constituency isn't aren't the folks that fish, it's the fish themselves, because we don't have a constituency that can use them if we don't have the fish.
Well stated, Senator Stoltz. I agree. Mixed stock management is difficult all over the state of Alaska, not just in Cook Inlet, and the board's going to consider every possible factor, every point of science, every user group, and here and there, we may have to err on the side of conservation to make sure that the fish are returning and we don't deplete any one particular run. Very, very difficult thing to do.
Thank you.
Senator Michiki.
So on that subject, which is an important subject, the Board of Fish meets sort of in specific areas. However, some of those interceptions occur in other areas. Do you have any ideas on how that system can be improved, where it's more of a systemic look of, I don't want to say interception, those are legal fisheries, but, you know, in some cases there are several fisheries in the way prior to fish getting to sort of the immediate river system, and Alaskans have a tendency to be concerned with their closest neighbors instead of all the other fisheries that may be involved. Can you think of any improvements on how you have more of a relationship between the different areas, particularly when we have a stock of concern, on how far out we should consider the best management practices for that species?
Thank you, Senator. You have mentioned a very challenging area. Immediately comes to mind for me the difficulties between the Area M harvesters on the peninsula and the Yukon and Kuskokwim area harvesters, where the river groups feel strongly that a lot of interceptions are happening. The board has tried several different strategies over time. I don't have anything new to pull out of my hat as far as management strategies or new things to suggest. I strongly feel there needs to be a good basis of science. There needs to be genetic studies done at all points of interception to try to find out what the mixture of those stocks are. I think that's been done reasonably in years to come, but there's still more research that's needed. And the board is going to need to be very careful about how they manage and form and support management plans for those mixed stock harvests. To answer your question, I don't have anything new to bring to the table. It hasn't been discussed extensively before, but I am open to input.
Further questions for Mr. Kane? Senator Wilkowski.
So just to talk, if you could talk a little bit about Mattsu, and I know there's been some changes to the management there to try to get more fish back. It seems to be working. What do you think the factors were that led to the decrease in salmon returns in Mattsu? And what more can we do to increase those returns?
That's a good question, Senator. I don't know the answer to that. There's such a variety of factors that affect returns, ocean conditions, water column temperatures, global warming, predator predation changes, harvest changes and interception fisheries. the original escapement from the outmigration of smoke from the rivers. There's all kinds of things that affect that. The Board of Fisheries, of course, can't affect climatic changes or things like that. What the board has power over is how harvests are conducted and how management plans are formatted, and that's where we need to focus our energy, is on the things that we can control to maximize conditions and opportunities for fish to return, so that we have a good and stable, sustainable fishery. That whole concept enters into various shellfish fisheries all around the state, and of course salmon and herring and other fisheries. We've got to take a look at the factors we can control and carefully evaluate and try to do that in a manner that's going to perpetuate sustainability.
Further questions for Mr. Kane? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Kane, for spending time with us. I would ask you if you could just stay on the line. We're going to interview Mr. Ruffner next, and we're going to take some public testimony. We may want to come back to you for some closing remarks. So if possible, that would be great. But thanks very much. So next we're going to go to Robert Ruffner. He is the second person we'll be interviewing today for appointment to the Board of Fish. Mr. Ruffner, can you hear us?
I can.
Well, welcome. I know you've been through the process before, so if you would again just introduce yourself for the record, let us know why you'd like to serve on the Board of Fish, and any other comments you'd like to add.
Sure. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of Senate Resources. My name is Robert Ruffner, and some of this will be a little bit of a repeat. I'm humbled again to be nominated for the Board of Fisheries. And just a little bit about myself as a reminder. I'm 47 now. I've been married for 23 years. I've got a couple of great daughters that I spent this week with my while my wife was out in Baltimore, so I'm sorry that I couldn't be sitting there in the chair today. I graduated in the mid-90s from the University of Minnesota with geology, and I focused on river and river mechanics. Did a fair amount of work on numerical modeling and statistics, which is one of those attributes that I think I can bring to the board that would be helpful. I worked in conservation for an organization that I would describe as a balanced organization. We worked pretty hard to seat board members from all the different user groups, and then and worked through habitat issues. And that experience in working with the various user groups that will tend to want to use some of the habitat issues as a sword against another group. I'm pretty familiar with that and have seen that in my nearly 20-year tenure. I did just resign from that position, and the organization hired a new executive director. I still am working there in a very limited capacity, working on a specific restoration project along the Tesoro Pipeline route. In public service, I've served both on the Kenai Peninsula Borough's Planning Commission and on our road board. I guess the reasons that I would want to do this are no different than they were last year when I came before you is that, you know, I want my kids to have those same experiences that I had as a child. Some of those memories that we all share from growing up with our parents or grandparents, those are really important values to me, and I want to be able to do my part to pass those along, and it's largely why I chose the profession that I chose to work in. Also, just want to mention that, you know, we focus a lot on Cook Inlet, and a lot of the questions this time and last time focused on that area, but the Board of Fisheries has a tremendous job with a multi-billion-dollar industry working across the entire state, and that's one of my motivations for wanting to do this. Is is to learn a little bit more about the other parts of the state that I'm not as familiar with, and so that'll excite me to read through the data and understand how our fisheries are prosecuted for, you know, across the state, the different fisheries we have, and then bringing that back and comparing that to how we're one of the most contentious parts of the state, that being Cook, you know, how we do business here. The things that I will again emphasize to say that I think that I bring to the as a potential board member is that the proper temperament and demeanor to hear the various user groups when they are so impassioned as we talked about earlier. I think it's really important to be able to sit down and listen to those concerns and issues that come forward and pair those up where there are disagreements and trying to bring people together to find the best solution. That's one of those things that other people tell me that I've done well in my job, and I can see that, and I think that would be something that I could bring to the board and be helpful. The science background that I have is also will be very helpful. Well, I studied geology and did a fair amount there. The mathematics and the statistical work that I'm familiar with and numerical modeling, you know, those efforts really inform board members and the public when they try to make decisions. And so having someone that understands how those models are worked on and derived and what the assumptions are they go into them, I think those are all really important things for everybody to understand, and I think that, or I would hope that I could bring some good questions to help illuminate when those things come up, whether it's the fisheries, the biology part of it, or the economics part of it. I mean, they all use fairly sophisticated modeling techniques, and having someone that has been around that, I think, will be helpful. Again, I'll just reiterate that I do have this statewide interest and a strong commitment to the public process. The way we do business in Alaska is really pretty unique to the world, and I strongly believe in the AC process and having these proposals brought forward and brought to a body that can arbitrate those in a as neutral a way as possible to come out with good decisions in a public and transparent process. So I'm fully committed to that, and will do my utmost to show that transparency, and when deliberations happen on a particular issue, that I state why I vote the way I do, and there shouldn't be questions about that. I think maybe with that, since I put a fair amount on the record the last year, a lot of the specific questions, I'd be happy to try to go through those again if they're specific questions. But rather than trying to guess at what those might be, I think I will pause here and take questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ruffner. Questions for Mr. Ruffner? Senator Stoltz.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ruffner, and this is not a board for the timid, and certainly much more open to this second entry now that you're on it for running for a different or applying for a different seat. Is there anything in last year's testimony that you would like to revise or change? There were questions on whether or not your commitment to the board action on the corridors. There were or any other positions, or do we all have the minutes? But I just want to give you the opportunity. If anything has changed in the intervening year, the last time you were before committee that I chaired, it was on April 13th. So it's been almost a year, but and people are allowed to change their mind. I want to give you that opportunity, sir.
Thank you, Senator Stoltz, through the chair. No, I thought about that pretty carefully. It's like, you know, I did put a number of points on the record, and given, you know, so really all this change between last year and this year is that we had one season of a fishery that was carried out, and I didn't see anything that was carried out this year that would lead me to change any of those positions that I put on the record last year. You know, and I know in the Matsura, you know, one of those points that was asked last time in a couple of different ways was that corridor issue, and we had a strong coho year last year, and you know, my understanding is that there was good showings of coho both in the streams in the valley and here on the Kenai.
Follow-up, Senator Stoltz?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Ruffner. Last time, I think there was trying to... I think I'll just summarize first that even though they're not designated by statute, there's a traditional seats. There is no statutory Kodiak seat, but I don't recall a time in recent where there hasn't been a member from Kodiak. And there are certain sports and subsistence that the one you have, a seat you are applying for now, is traditionally thought to be a commercial seat. It's Bristol Bay. I think the last time there was, and I understand the dynamics, you were kind of distance yourself from a commercial connection, and you testified you really only had 2 days of commercial experience. But I suspect you've probably tried to bone up on some of it, and you probably have broader knowledge. And in this dynamic where this really is more of a commercial seat, and I know you do have statewide understanding, but I've been approached by folks. I'm comfortable with your designation here, but given this is a commercial seat, do you actually perhaps have a broader involvement or understanding that might make you more qualified for this seat?
Senator Stoltz, to the chair, I'm not sure I understand the question, so I'll try to be brief and then allow you to follow up here. I did last year, you're right, I mean, I fished for 2 years in the inlet, I think somewhere in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. But I didn't commercial fish this past year. I still went personal use fishing, so I don't have any additional commercial fishing experience compared to last year's nomination. But I do understand the fisheries, and I do understand how they operate, particularly with salmon, you know, the other species, the crabs and herring and so forth across the rest of the state. Those are the areas that I'm really going to have to study up on. And since I am only working, you know, very part-time right now, I do have the time to dedicate and the interest to do so.
Follow-up, Senator Stoltz?
No, thank you. It's... I think that's actually, I was reading the notes, and last year it was, you said 2 days, it was 2 years. That's more extensive experience than you had previously testified. So I understand it was a different dynamic last year, though.
No, I'm sorry, Senator Stoltz. If I said 2 years just now, I meant 2 days. I've only commercial fished 2 days.
Okay.
All right, great for clarifying that. Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, just a comment. Mr. Ruffner, I'm glad to see you back at it. I really am. I said last year was rough, and it had nothing to do with you at all. It was just simply concern over the seat designation. I thought you were immensely qualified. I still think you are, and I have every intention of supporting you at this point.
Further questions for Mr. Ruffner? All right, seeing none. Mr. Ruffner, if you would stay on the line, we're going to take public testimony now, and there could be follow-up questions for you. So I have six folks signed up to testify online, and then we'll make sure there's no one else in the room. So I'm going to start in Homer. There are three folks there. The first person is Lynn Whitmore. Mr. Whitmore, welcome.
Hi, this is Lynn Whitmore, and I'd like to testify for both the candidates. And Mr. Kane has been at the Board of Fisheries, it seems like, as long as I've been visiting that arena, and it's been 30-some years. And I was real surprised that he was wanting to be on the board, and I can't imagine a better candidate. He's about as fair a man as I've ever seen sitting in that arena. And good for him for giving this a shot. And Robert Ruffner, I sat through the committee hearings last year, watched him get beat up pretty good. He's a river scientist, which I think we sorely need. Both these candidates are extremely fair, and I watched the prejudices take place on the board votes. and these guys go through that process, and I'm guessing they're going to be real fair about it. And thank you guys very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Whitmore. Any questions for Mr. Whitmore? Next, we'll go to Wes Humbard. And just to interject, I neglected to ask folks to limit their testimony to 3 minutes. So I neglected to say that. Sorry. So, Mr. Humbard, welcome. If you would identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Hey, my name is Wes Humbard. Thanks to the board for listening to us on these conference hearings. I've been a commercial fisherman at Cook Inlet since 1966. I've been a resident of Alaska since 1971, and I am a commercial fisherman, have been, always will be until I'm done. And I was all for Mr. Kane until he said one comment, that he thought the conservation corridor in Cook Inlet was a good thing. Well, now I changed my mind, and I don't want him confirmed because of that context. That was just one of the worst things the Board of Fish has ever done. It put a lot of commercial fishermen out of business. A lot of them went bankrupt, because we weren't able to get to where the sockeye salmon were. We overescaped the system by almost 1 million fish went to waste. The dip netters couldn't get them anybody else. So I am not going to vote to have him confirmed. But as far as Mr. Ruffner goes, I think he needs to be confirmed because he got drug over the coals pretty hard last year because of politics. And I think he's very fair. I've listened to him before, and I'd like to see Mr. Ruffner confirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Humbard. Any questions for Mr. Humbard? Senator Stoltz had a question for you, Wes.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Humbard. Mr. Ruffner also supports the corridor. Should I vote against him as well? Has he ruined your life?
Now, Mr. Stoltz, that'll be your own decision. I know the guy has a lot of biological background and so on and so forth. And I just want somebody on that board that uses biological data and science to make a decision and be fair. And it sounds to me like Mr. Ruffner, at a point, Mr. Kane sounded like he would too, but that conservation corridor, the reason I'm against that is because we do not fish like Bristol Bay, Mr. Stoltz, and everybody up there thinks we do. If you want to do like Bristol Bay, then let us go fish the first 5 miles of the Kenai River like they do in Bristol Bay. And we won't be overescaping the system and wasting millions and millions and millions of dollars of revenue, which would have been $121 million in 2014, which I've testified before. It's a wasted resource to the people of Alaska and to the fishery, the commercial fishery. We don't want anybody not to be able to get their fish, and I just feel like that conservation corridor was put in there to benefit the silver salmon fishermen and the guides up in the Natsu Valley. And then when we let the fish go by, you went ahead and gave all the commercial fishermen, all the sport fishermen up there a new bag limit at the cost of the commercial people. We didn't get a fish anymore. We sat on the beach. Last year is the worst year I've had in 49 years, and I know what I'm doing.
I'm sorry that we supported our constituents.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Humbard. By the way, I believe Senator Machicki had a question for you, if you could pause for a moment. Senator Machicki.
I do. Hello, Wes. I'm just going to make the statement while you're there that I'm not going to condemn folks that I see as credible board members for single statements that are identical to other folks that are applying. We need to choose good board members, and we need to choose people that clearly, by Mr. Kane's testimony, he will look at every issue fairly, and I'm going to support him. But thanks for your testimony.
All right. Thank you very much. So also there at the Homer LIO is Richard McGann. Mr. McGann, welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Peter Machicki, representative for this peninsula. I live in Nikiski. Started fishing in 1955. Ruffner's promise, my promise to the governor and Alaskans, that Alaskans first, I hope he remembers that on all the decisions he makes on his task if he's representing Alaskans. Thank you, Mr. Ruffner. And on Alan Kane, we have got to quit splitting this inlet up and over-escapement. 81% in 2014 fish over-escapement in the Cook Inlet. 81%. That's about $120 million. First to the fisherman's loss. And we're talking about budgets. we have to do some straightening out. Now, the corridors, in order for the Department of Fish and Game to be able to fish and utilize the fish in Alaska, which the Constitution tells them to, the governor has the right to appoint the people to make sure that job is done. So let's keep it for Alaskans and Alaskans first. The mission statement and the Board of Fish regulations, if everybody read that over and over, they would understand a little bit more about how the fisheries are supposed to be run according to the federal government and the United States Constitution, the State of Alaska Constitution. And I appreciate you considering these members very carefully. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGann, for your testimony. Any questions for Mr. McGann? All right, seeing none. Next to the off-net, William Peterson is in Nistoyahook. Mr. Peterson, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Welcome. Give us your identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Yes, my name is William Peterson. I'm the Nistoyahook Traditional Council Administrator. I'm a former commercial fishing commander for 11 years here in the Bristol Bay region. And the only reason I'm texting is that my first question is that, is there a representative for the Bristol Bay fisheries at the Alaska Board of Fish? Or just the, excuse me, the United Fishermen of Alaska?
I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson, were you making a statement, asking a question? I'm not sure. This is your opportunity to either support or not support the two appointees, Mr. Keene and Mr. Ruffner.
I was looking at the credentials of both Robert Ruffner and Keene, and it's something that I believe that, from my point, I think that probably, after looking at the records here, Robert Griffin would be a candidate for that. But I actually came in for questions rather than making a decision or deciding on who to select for that position, for the position of the Board of Fisheries. Can I just wait on the questions on the later? Is there questions later?
Well, in this hearing, the committee has opportunity to ask questions to the appointees, but people calling in do not. So your opportunity right now, you've said that, I believe you said, you can confirm this, that you support Mr. Ruffner and you're not sure about Mr. Keene. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Anything further you'd like to add? You still have about a minute left in your three-minute allocation.
Oh, no, I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate you taking the time, and we appreciate hearing from you. Also on the off-net is Jimmy Hurley. He's an Equok. I can't say that very well. Please forgive me. Mr. Hurley, if you would identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony about the two appointees.
Yeah, well, my name is Jimmy R. Early. I live in Equok along the Nooshiek River. I lived there pretty close to 60 years. I have to hesitate on Mr. Ruffner. He said he fished for only 2 years. If, you know, we have people in Bristol Bay who fish all their life, and I don't know. You have a commercial opening there on the Board of Fish, and you know, Bristol Bay represents 50% of the fish in the world. So you know, I don't see how we're getting left out in Bristol Bay. And number two is, if you know, a while back, Nooshiek River is number one in kings, but it didn't happen just like that. You know, I sat on Nooshiek advisory for years a while back, and the Nooshiek kings were in trouble. We had to, every user group had to cut nets, the commercial it took 5 years to agree on one thing. If the commercial fishermen had to cut their time in fishing, the subsistence net had to be shortened up, and the sports fishermen had to limit their catch. Right now, you'll see on the Kenai River, every user is cutting each other's throats. And you know what's going to happen? Is the resources are going to go down. It ain't going to be the people. You know, the people could move on and do whatever else, but your resources are going to deplete totally. It happened here on the Nooshiak River over 20 years ago. But we rebuilt this fisheries, and where is the number one fish now for kings? It's on the Nooshiak River. People might not know what we're saving here, but we live on the river here. We put our fish up. We live. This is what we fought pebble mine. We fought everything else here. But, you know, we don't need to be. We need representation on that board of fish. A real commercial fisherman, not no one, two-time fisherman. I mean, I fished Bisco Bay 95. I picked 180,000 pounds myself. I'm a fisherman. I work my butt off. I don't work anybody in the world. I pick more fish than anybody in the world. A guy out of Ecuador did it. And you say, you know, we have the experience here, but we need real good representation on there, on the commercial part. If not, this whole fisheries will go down the drain, just like how Kenai is right now, fighting each other. You're going to be fighting each other. You're going to have two and three different lawyers on each side, going on and on. And the state of Alaska is right in between. Where are you going? You're going downhill. You know, so I don't recommend you guys. I recommend that you not appoint any of these two and ask the governor for a few more appointments and somebody out of Bristol Bay. We need our commercial fishermen. We need somebody to know how our resources here work. We're the eyes and ears on here. I spent years on Nooshiak Advisory. I didn't get paid for going down there and making our, you know, the numbers and whatever, and agreeing and working together to keep our fisheries going. That's what it's going to take. If you could see one special user, I'm sorry, but you know, one special user's eyes, and that's it. Sports fisherman commercial.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Okay. Hurley. The three-minute testimony time is up. I appreciate you calling in, and we have your testimony that you oppose both Mr. Ruffner and Mr. Kane.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. The last person that has signed in to speak is George Pierce. He's in the Kenai LIO. Mr. Pierce, welcome. Please identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
My name is George Pierce. I live in Kitsilof, Alaska. Thank you for taking my testimony. Our fish and game boards are stacked now with friends and buddies and neighbors and good friends. The fish board is controlled by fishing guides and the game board is controlled by hunting guides. That's why the fish and game is so messed up today. Fish and game nominees must be a biologist or a scientist in the fish or game field. Not friends, good old boys, nice guys, neighbors. The state needs to take control of the Fish and Game Board, where the governor or the legislators can have control over the fish board. Robert Ruffner is a good guy. He's not a biologist. He's a geologist. Neither is Al Kane. He's not a biologist either. You can't keep confirming these people that don't have any knowledge of fish or game. You must, for the sake of the fish and the game and for the Alaskans, hire or appoint biologists and scientists is a must for the fish and game positions. If we are to put friends and neighbors and good old boys, Robert Ruffner is a great guy and he would be great for that position. Our fish board is uncontrollable right now. So it's up to you folks to put scientists and biologists in there that know what they're talking about, not friends, buddies, and good old boys. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pierce. I don't see anyone else online who wishes to testify. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify on these two appointees? Seeing none, I'll close public testimony. Are there any further questions from committee members to the two appointees, Mr. Ruffner or Mr. Kane? All right. Seeing none. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Resources Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Board of Fisheries, Robert Ruffner Soldatna, appointed 7-1-2016, term expires 6-30-2019. Alan Kane, Anchorage, appointed 3-14-2016, term expires 6-30-18. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. So this document will be signed by committee members and transmitted. I know that the State Affairs Committee will also be reviewing these appointees. After we sign these documents, the meeting will have concluded our agenda for today. Our next meeting will be Friday, March 11th. Committee members, please note that now that we've concluded the Board of Fisheries appointees, we are going to take up Senate Bill 172 on Friday. So this was the shellfish hatchery bill that came from the governor. So that'll be up on Friday. So if you have any amendments, please be sure to get them to me. And at this time, then, the committee will adjourn. The time is 4:31 p.m. Thank you.